We Like Dota, episode 18, begins now. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to We Like Dota. This is We Like Dota, the internet's casual Dota 2 podcast. I'm Brian Sabone-Yinger, and joining me this evening is the internet's darling, Ben Yadnep Day.
Hi, Brian. How are you this evening?
I'm doing just swell. How are you, Ben?
I am mossy.
Ben, as you know...
That's what you usually say, so I wanted to steal that from
Yeah,
me.
That comes from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
It's not original content.
I don't even know what it means.
Ben, as you know, our friend Jeff White...
I like that guy.
He is the internet's darling.
He is, which is, I'm a little confused why you called me the internet's darling.
Here's why. Because
tell me why.
Jeff does not do anything on the internet anymore.
What is the deal with Jeff?
What's the deal with Jeff?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anywho, Jeff...
He got married and stuff. He's got bigger and better things to do.
Jeff, if you're listening, we got issues with you. But anyway, we're not here to talk about Jeff. We're here to talk about Dota 2.
Yes,
that's what we are.
That's what we do on this podcast.
So as is tradition, we will start with who'd you play? Who'd you play, Ben?
I played a lot of people because I actually finished my 10-hero challenge.
Which is incredible. You did it in 2 weeks?
I did it in 2 weeks, apparently. I wasn't counting.
Less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, I did it pretty quickly. So
you played a lot of Dota, apparently.
I apparently played way too much Dota. So I played some TA, some Axe, some Razor, some Bloodseeker, some Pugna. And then in my spare time, I also played a little bit of Witch Doctor. We did that during community night.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk a little bit later about Io, because that was the one that was the hardest for me to get the win on.
Yeah. So spoiler alert, we're doing, I'm changing out the A to Z challenge for the next couple weeks while I do the 10 hero compendium challenge.
Being put on hold.
Yeah. Because I don't have enough time for 2 challenges all at once. It's just a lot.
First world problems, for sure. Life is hard.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Shut up, Ben. Last week, I did kind of have a thing where I kind of lamented that I wasn't able to play who I wanted to play.
Yeah, so did sense. You feel a little pigeonholed into having to do exactly what Valve told you had to do?
It's not the 10-hero challenge. It's the A to Z challenge that did it.
Okay.
And then this 10-hero compendium challenge just kind of added to
that. You just
kind
of felt a little overwhelmed. Yeah.
So I went, ah, and just, that's how I started playing.
Well, you're better for just doing one challenge in a moment. I think that's good.
Yeah, I agree. And so, yeah, so we're putting that on hold for the time being. But Ben, what else did you do?
Well, let's talk about what we played. So you and I participated in a Magic the Gathering draft.
Yeah, as it turns out, Ben and I are magnificently huge nerds.
Very much so. Yeah, very much so. So we played a Magic draft, which was really fun.
Yeah. What is that? Can you explain that to
us? So essentially what you do is you get a group of friends together, or enemies, however you want to go about doing that. And what you do is you pass some packs around, and you end up essentially creating some decks out of booster packs. And so we did the Theros, Born of the Gods, and what was the last part of that expansion? Journey into Nyx expansions. Or sets, or whatever you want to call that. So obviously we're experts in Magic, as you can tell by my vocabulary. But right. we played some of that. So it was really fun. You got to craft some decks. You got to kind of work around how other people were drafting as well. And then we did a little tournament in which Brian and I failed miserably, but had a good time.
Oh gosh, we failed so hard. And Jared was there too, which it kind of stinks because Jared's not here this evening. What is Jared doing?
He's having a baby.
That's right. Yeah. He's kind of having a baby. So
I think he's gestating or something. Is that what it's called?
I think that's what it is. Yeah. So we told him to take the night off and, you know, go do that whole thing.
But we'll talk a little bit about Jared's Magic, because Jared's Magic play is very similar to his Dota play.
Yeah. It's incredible.
He knows a lot, has some really good high level ideas, comes up with some great concepts.
Right.
And then the execution is just crap.
Terrible.
It's really, really
terrible
bad.
Even. Yeah. I had a match that I played Jared in. The only card that he played, we went like 5 or 6 turns. The only card that he was able to play was a counterspell.
Right. Which is kind of par for the course for that. But again, if anybody else played the deck, because again, he's conceptually really, really strong.
Yeah.
They would probably just have more luck. I just don't know if he's not lucky or what it is, but it's fun to watch.
There's something in there that that just doesn't, you know, it's not clicking with him.
Right, right. But yeah. No, it was great. We had a good time.
We did. We did.
It was good. So did that and then played a little bit of Transistor. Just barely touching the surface.
I want to play this game so bad, Ben.
It's by the makers of Bastion, which was, I probably pronounced that incorrectly as well. But it was a really cool game with
Cool, how else would you say it?
I would assume it's Bastion.
How else would you say it, Ben?
Bastion? I don't know.
Bastion.
That's probably a bad word.
Yeah, it's Bastion.
So anyways, but they're a really cool narrator, good use of music in the game, and this is very similar. So the narrator's back from that game.
Oh, it's the same guy.
Same narrator, but playing a different character, you will. He actually plays the voice of a sword, which is kind of interesting.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. The music design is great. I haven't looked if it's the same person who did the music on Bastion or not, but it might be.
That guy was fantastic.
Yeah, this music is also very good, so I'll have to look to see who it is. So I think the soundtrack might be on Spotify even to listen to. So not very far into the game yet, but I'm excited about experiencing that.
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah.
And then, and you and I also played some League. Let's talk about that.
Yes.
So, you traitor, you made me install and update League of Legends.
Well, okay, there's a whole, kind of a whole story that goes along with this. So, a friend of the show, Chris Conry, he's a big fan of the MOBA genre. I think we would say that his first home is League of Legends.
It is. He's technically part of our Dota team, but has not played Dota in about 3 months.
Yeah. Which is what you're looking for.
Right.
In a Dota team.
If you want to get good.
Right. So, I don't know. Chris had a couple... He's been really busy with work lately, and he had a couple hours... What was it? Saturday? Saturday afternoon.
He apparently had enough time for all of us to download and install League of Legends.
Yeah.
But not enough time to play Dota with us.
Well, before we played League, we played Smite.
Oh, okay.
Which is from the developer Hi-Rez Studios, who made the Tribes Ascend?
I mean, that's a thing, yeah.
Yeah. But Smite, it's basically like a third-person shooter mashed up with a MOBA. And it's pretty good, but it's based on, like, Greek mythology and all that. And I had a fun time with it. It's nothing... I would only play it with other friends.
Yeah.
I only have time for one MOBA.
Yeah, I do too.
To be honest with you.
Well, let's talk about League of Legends, because you and I had some observations. We played the game before.
Yeah, Chris wanted us all to play, and I said, okay, yeah, we'll get in on this.
And we played. We had fun.
Yeah.
Except we both, there were sort of some issues that we had with the game.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that. What were some of your observations?
Well, my first issue, and take this as a grain of salt, because I'm not... You are way more into the game than I've ever been.
As a full disclosure, I have actually played and won more games in League of Legends than I have in Dota 2, because I was in League of Legends on the ground level.
This is like 5 years ago.
Right. I actually bought a physical copy of the game when that was a thing.
Right. And,
I've played League of Legends for quite a while, and then kind of dropped out of the MOBA genre for a couple years, and then you talked me into playing Dota. And really, if only... Yeah. Dabbled with League a couple times based on usually because of Chris's requests, but for the most part I've just been doing Dota 2, and I find Dota 2 a much more enjoyable game overall.
Yeah, there's the team fight is much more essential. The team play and strategy is way more essential in Dota 2 instead of League.
There's a courier.
Yeah.
Those
are kind of
courier.
My qualms with just standard play, and it seems like I played what's considered a support champion, as they're called in League. And they're
called that in Dota also. Oh, you mean champion, not support.
Right, yeah. And there's not much for supports to do, because warding is not very powerful. When you place a ward, it's only put up for 2 minutes, and everyone can place wards.
Right.
You can buy this magic trinket where everyone can place wards. And
what a joke that is.
Yeah. And there's not, like, stuns aren't super, there's not a lot
They're
of them.
They're a lot shorter.
Not as critical.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just felt like I was doing a lot of damage, but in lane, there's not much to do because you want your carry to get all the farm. So, like, I just kind of walked around for the most part, and when Chris said, stun him, I did that, and that was about it.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, the big thing that I find the biggest difference between the games is how they make money off of the game. And so,
totally.
So Dota is totally free, and you have every hero unlocked.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love what that does for the competitive scene. I love what that does for just the flexibility there. I feel like everybody's totally on even ground.
Yeah.
with League of Legends, you have to, and you can earn points to do this stuff, but it's pretty slow.
Yeah.
Like, it probably, the unlock is very similar to how you unlock items in Dota 2, in terms of the pacing on that.
Okay.
But you can earn IP, which you use to buy things, or you can use real money, but you have a very limited set of heroes that you have unlocked initially. You have to then buy the heroes separately, buy the skins separately, and you have to buy runes, which are essentially stat buff items that you can itemize and change.
You have to buy items that buff your stats?
Right. You didn't even know about that.
No.
They're runes. So what the runes do is the runes are items that you essentially you can they're slots. There's like maybe 20 gem slots, if you think of it that way.
Okay.
And maybe one of them reduces cooldown or they increase attack damage.
And you have to buy these?
Those need to be purchased either with the in-game currency or real
currency.
Are you
serious?
Correct.
So like I can buy an item that reduces cooldowns on spells?
Marginally, but yes. To be at the high level.
What?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Right. So to be at the highest level.
Oh my goodness. I didn't know this.
You would have to either spend a lot of money to unlock all the champions and spend enough money and spend your IP on the runes, okay, to really be competitive, or you would have to play hours and hours to get everything unlocked. Yeah.
I would assume that in the League competitive scene, though, all of this stuff, they get all this stuff unlocked.
They probably get it all for free, but in terms of the way that they make money off of the game, much prefer just buying hats from Valve. And I've spent more money, even though I've played more League, I've spent more money buying hats from Valve than I've paid to unlock champions. I think I've spent $30 on League ever.
Yeah.
And obviously I've spent more on that on Dota when they have the chest and the compendiums and all those things.
But even for League, I would wonder like how the amateur competitive scene, like how that works. Isn't
it an oxymoron? How does that work?
I would wonder, because, you know, like in Dota 2, there's like, you know, amateur.
Sure, like the amateur tournaments and everything.
I would think that in League, there's some gray area where like Riot gave this guy, you know, a full unlock.
Well, their competitive scene works differently, too, in that they're actually employed by Riot.
Yeah.
So that's very different. They get a salary from
Which
Riot.
Which is nice.
It's nice, although what we're seeing with TI here is that's going to be the biggest pot of money. So it's like golf versus baseball. You know, you've got people who you essentially win, you make money because you win, or you make money because you signed a contract. That's the real difference there. So I prefer, not against how League does their competitive scene, but I am against how League does their monetization of the game itself. I much prefer just let's keep everything that affects gameplay free and give everybody equal footing on that.
Well, I was getting more at, you know, if there's, and I don't even know if this is a thing, if there's semi-pro or amateur League tournaments.
I'm not sure how that
Do you
works.
Think there's maybe some people who don't have everything unlocked? Maybe that affects their viability.
That very much could. That
maybe
could make an impact.
They haven't gotten the blessing from Riot.
Right. They haven't gotten all the Riot stuff. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But again, it's a fun game. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I enjoy it, but I like...
Hold on. Can we crap on it just a little bit more?
Please crap on it. Go ahead.
One thing that I...
You made me play this, by the way. I was bitter the entire time.
Were you?
Oh, yeah.
I had fun with it.
No, I'm kidding about the bitterness, but...
Oh.
But I would have rather played Dota.
I can see you being bitter.
I was pretending to be bitter.
No, I was happy to play with friends. And one thing that bugs me is, since there's no TP scrolls, you can only go back to base. You can only teleport back to base. So if you're winning your lane and...
There is an ability that lets you teleport to towers. You can choose that as one of your abilities.
Okay.
Or at least there used to be
when
the game first came out. So.
Sure. Anyway, assuming you're mostly just hitting B to go back to base.
And you have to go back to base to buy things.
To buy,
right.
So if you're winning your lane and you have an edge, you have to give up your advantage to go back to base to buy items. You have to leave lane, give up gold, give up XP. That's a comeback mechanic. It's like the blue shell.
It's the blue shell, which, again, Mario Kart's fun. But it's not as competitive as something like Smash Brothers, for example.
Yeah.
You know?
And then we also did the all random, all mid mode, which was fun for about 10 minutes.
Oh, that mode. Okay. Valve, if you're listening, never do anything like that.
Yeah,
oh my gosh. It was so boring.
I kind of wanted Valve to implement that, but I don't want that anymore.
I am against it. I think it is a very boring mode. You just sit there and you just poke at people for about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Until, I don't know. It's just, it's a giant team fight and you think that would be a good thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was very boring. It doesn't have as much going on as those other modes.
It's nice for about 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
and then you're like, okay,
something needs to happen.
Yeah.
So I think the map control is such a huge part of League and of Dota.
Yeah.
That really that mode of all random, all mid just takes away anything involving the map. And it's just all ability based. And I just feel like the depth is not there in that mode. And it's meant to be a casual mode. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But to me, it was rather boring.
Yeah.
So
there's our crap on League.
Pooped right on
it. If you like League, God bless you.
Yeah.
But we're not into it.
Not really. No.
But, it, you know, Chris, if you're listening, we would still be happy to play with you.
Yeah, and I like Chris as a person.
Yeah, so, okay, what else do we have here, Ben? We had community night this past Friday.
That was really fun.
I think there's rumblings of that being pushed back to 8 p.m.
I didn't realize it had a starting time as it was, so that's
great. The starting time was 7:30.
Okay.
You have not been on the We Like Dota subreddit.
I do not do Reddit.
Okay. Well, you don't have to quote-unquote do Reddit. You can just visit the page and lurk.
Sounds really creepy. I don't know.
Do you remember the lurker from StarCraft?
No.
Okay, never mind. Anyway, so we had a good time with that. We kind of had an issue where, well, one, we had an issue getting enough people there. So people, Friday nights at 7:30 or 8 p.m., check out for Field Studies post on the subreddit. He'll knock that out. We didn't have enough people, so we need more people to join and play with us. We had to do a couple bot matches, and those weren't super great.
Yeah. Could be because we have a lack of listeners. Because the show is awful.
Could be.
I'm just throwing that out there.
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
But we did play a match after the bot matches where we had a couple issues with some server stability.
Oh, Volvo, get this together. What the heck?
Yeah. Where it wasn't a huge deal. The Dota 2 matchmaking network went down for, what, about 5 or 10 minutes?
I don't know, but it happens a lot. I think it's the frequency of how often their servers go down that's bothersome.
It happened
during the North American qualifiers.
Yeah, it happens during game time stuff.
It's
not good.
It's not.
So, I don't know, Ben. I'm not sure what to suggest, what to say.
I suggest they make that one of the stretch goals. That they will double the server capacity if they hit 12 million.
Well, I don't even know if it's server capacity. Just get those things on uninterruptible power supplies or something, or
whatever piece of technology they need to purchase to make it work.
Yeah, it's a little annoying. So it was kind of frustrating because we had all 10 people, we were ready to go, and then the network went down.
Right, and I got really cranky.
Yeah, as rightfully so, because we had been trying for about a half hour to get everyone together.
Right.
But yeah, we did community night, and that was a good time.
It was fun. It was definitely fun. We have a really good community. So I think 5.5 people now that listen to the show.
Yeah.
Really nice guys.
Yeah.
So totally. I appreciate our listeners.
Yeah. And after you left, did you join us? You joined us for matchmaking, right?
I don't know what I did. I was there for a while.
We got destroyed in matchmaking.
Oh, it was bad. Yeah.
That was pretty bad. But we did another match after that.
Well, I left. That's why. Yeah, so you get rid of the worst player.
After you left, we put me on Mirana, and I had...
Would you play a good Mirana?
We had Hugh and Cheeks and Kyler on Shadow Fiend.
Different than Kyle.
Yeah.
This is Kylar.
Kyler. And we destroyed. It was great. We had such a fun time.
We just need to get rid of the dead weight. I mean, I'm just there holding everybody back.
Yeah. Well, just, Ben, some of these guys have played hundreds or, in some cases, thousands of matches, and I felt like I was hanging with them, Ben.
Good for you.
I felt like I was hanging
with them.
That's great. Now, granted, my responsibilities were buying wards and putting them up.
Right. So not necessarily the biggest role on the team.
I landed a couple critical arrows in the early game. Opened the game wide
open. Let's be honest. When I was playing, nobody picked Meepo for me. And as we all know, I'm a Meepo player.
Your Meepo's pretty good, Ben. It's pretty good.
I don't even know where you got that.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I do not play Meepo.
You've played him once.
Right. We've established that.
So, Ben, we kind of talked about it earlier, but there are some new compendium stretch goals.
Ooh, let's talk about that.
Let's talk about these. So here's my first question.
Well, A, let's congratulate the community for hitting the... I mean, that was fast. Yeah, round of golf clap. Yeah.
Round of applause, folks.
Yeah, because it was really impressive how fast they got to the originally 6 million
The 6 goal. Million stretch mark, yeah. Which I think we got stretch mark, stretch goal.
Yeah, you don't want to call it that.
We hit that in under 2 weeks, I think, right? I think it was like 10 days.
Let's call it 12 days.
Sure, we'll say 12 days.
Right.
And everyone was like, Valve's going to do new stretch goals. And I was like, I don't know. But then I kind of talked it over with you and Jared, and they're like, no, they have to if they want people to keep.
You got to give them something to reach the money for. Going. Yeah, keep the money coming in. It's way early into this thing yet.
So there are now 22 stretch goals.
Well, that's a lot. So just give me a couple highlights. What do we got going on?
I'm really excited about the Daily Hero Challenge.
Ooh.
Where in your compendium, you'll get a random hero, and if you get a win, you'll get extra compendium points.
I'm on board with that.
Yeah. And then the one after that is we get to vote on who will get a new updated voice package.
Okay. Who would you pick?
I don't know. That's what I was trying to think. I immediately go to the IO.
Right.
But I actually really
like submarine sounds or whatever going on.
I love his voice. It's cool.
Yeah. It's kind of neat.
So I think the voice acting is already so good.
If you're the voice actor that gets replaced, how do you feel about that? Like, is that a low blow?
Well, no, because I would think they'd have the same person come back, right?
Not necessarily.
They might just record new lines, I would think.
Oh, I guess I anticipated a whole other take on the character.
Okay. Vote for the hero you'd like to receive a new alternate voice and dialogue pack.
So it would probably be existing one would still be there.
Yeah, it's
choose.
In addition to what's already there.
Okay. I'm okay with that then.
Other things of note are the model update votes, so you get to choose who gets a new
look. How about that? Any thoughts on that one? Because that one, I would pick Io. I'd like to see maybe Io that is glowing red, for example.
Yeah, again, I don't know who I would go with. Who do I think is ugly? Ugly can be good, though. I don't know. You can't ask this stuff off the cuff with me.
Okay, well, we should have planned this ahead of time.
Yeah.
Way to fail.
Yeah. Let's see, a multi-kill banner. So, like, when you get a multi-kill, you can customize what that looks like when that happens.
Okay, that's pretty neat.
That's kind of cool. Okay, this is maybe my favorite.
Okay.
A after-party broadcast after the International 4, a live stream of a party with special guest Darude, who made the song Sandstorm.
Right, so explain, because you guys were going over this a little bit with me the other day. Explain the community's obsession with Darude and how that works.
Yeah.
It has to do with Twitch chat, correct?
It does. Okay. Yeah, so if you ever hang out in Twitch, and God help you if you decide to delve into the chat, between matches, the streamers always play songs. And if there's a song on and somebody didn't know who it was, people would say, what's the name of this song or whatever. And so, you know, because the Dota 2 community is just all focused on trolls and trolling only, they would just say Darude, Sandstorm. And so this kind of meme formed of, you know, where everyone would just respond with that. And if whoever's doing the streaming just wants to make the listening audience go nuts, they just play Sandstorm. And Twitch chat just blows up. I have no idea how the servers haven't crashed because Twitch chat just blows up.
Do they start dancing?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
You have to.
Yeah. Twitch loves to dance.
Yeah. So I think that could be really cool.
Yeah. That's neat. Give me the biggest goal. What's the biggest goal they have?
At $10 million. Victory prediction taunt.
What does that mean?
Unlocks the ability for you to perform a voice taunt with your hero in the early stages of the game. Keeps track of how many successful predictions you've made in a row.
So you're like calling it. It's like Babe Ruth calling a shot out of the park.
I think so.
That's pretty cool.
That sounds kind of dumb.
I like it.
The game's already trolly enough. Why would you want to encourage this more?
Let's troll the heck out of people.
I was just thinking how a great addition, a great stretch goal would be to just take text chat out of the game. And use only pinging.
Just to get rid of all the trolls.
Yeah, just have the chat wheel and pinging only.
Yeah.
Because that's a thing in Hearthstone, and it makes that game great.
What if they did this? What if you have a character or a player that gets banned 5 times, that they like change that character, regardless of what hero they pick, that their avatar, their character in game, is like a pony or a princess on a pony or something.
So if I'm playing as Bloodseeker,
you're a princess on a pony because you've been banned so far, you know, so many times.
What do you mean by banned? Like, you banned know, like in a draft?
No, banned. Like when you report people.
Oh, like low priority?
Kill? Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you put them as a princess on a pony.
I think that'd be great.
Isn't that pretty cool? Yeah. Although people would probably intentionally do it. That's the problem.
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay. Quick sidebar.
Sidebar. Let's do it.
Our friend of the show, John Baker, plays Dawn Gate.
He's been trying to sell me on Dawn Gate.
freaking look, the fact that that thing's attached to EA makes me never want to play it.
Right.
Anyway, I think I talked about this earlier. At the end of those matches, there's what's called a karma system, where you kind of give points to people who are helpful and helpful, or you know, if they were terrible. You give
good karma, bad karma.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you get certain rewards based on how much karma you get.
Okay.
So I think that's a way to make the community less toxic. If there's
so you like the karma system from Dongate.
I do.
So John should be hearing that as well, yeah. That you have found a feature you enjoy.
Yeah. I'm going pro in Dongate.
Well, I am going to go
I'm announcing it here.
I'm going pro in Mario Kart 8. Totally I've already been telling you this.
Yeah. So I think that could be a great thing to implement in Dota 2. If there is something in it for acting nice for people,
okay.
I think they would do it.
Yeah, I just think that whatever you do to the trolls has to be. It has to not be a reward, you know?
Well, they have to not have a reward for trolling.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You can't actually make
and
it
that's
a prince.
Not, that's
some
not
people
this.
Will feel the princess on a unicorn is something to strive for.
Exactly.
Right. That's the problem with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a really. Who came up with that idea?
I don't know. Some scrub.
So, speaking of stretch goals, I've been inspired by what's happening
with
the International. So. I thought, let's do, because stretch goals are a thing now. You got Kickstarter, you got this going on.
And that's about it.
But we're gonna hop on while it's good, right?
No, stretch goals, that's like the way to go now. People do that all the time.
Right.
It's a brilliant idea.
You know, I'm not on the internet, but I heard that's a thing.
Yeah.
So let's do some We Like Dota stretch goals.
Yeah.
So I've come up with some We Like Dota stretch goals. So
okay.
Just to give a broader sense, what our goal is, our ambition is to have 60,000 listeners. So we're getting pretty close.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. We're getting pretty
we're
close,
getting
but
there.
We'd like to hit that 60,000 listener mark.
We'll get there, baby.
We're going to get there. So here, I've got three stretch goals. I just wanted to start with three, and then like Valve, okay. We'll add more if they end up hitting them.
Perfect.
Early. So at 40,000 listeners, Brian, Jared, and I are willing to scan and email an autographed photo of our hands.
Wait, this is at 40,000?
This is at 40,000.
Oh,
okay.
We got a way to go, buddy.
Yeah. No, now we're pretty close. Autograph photo of our hands to those that send us a snail mail request. Okay. Now, that particular.
I'd do that right now.
No. That particular stretch goal is capped at 10 people. So the first 10 that send us something in the mail, if we hit the 40,000.
A signed picture of our hands?
Yes.
Like individually
autographed.
Or all of our hands together?
All three hands in one photo, autographed and signed, scanned into our computers, and emailed to the first 10 less listeners that send a request via snail mail.
All right.
So 40,000 listeners. I know it's a lot, but we can.
We're only going up from here, folks.
We're only going up from here. So at 50,000 listeners, and this is because we've been talking a lot behind the scenes. You guys know we do a lot of planning for the show. What does the show need? We need more sex appeal. We've been talking about this.
Oh, yeah. I've been saying this for months,
right.
Man.
So at 50,000 listeners, we will live stream the podcast, audio only, without wearing our shirts.
I like it.
At 50,000 listeners.
All right.
So you will know as you're listening to us that we are all shirtless.
Yeah, that'll...
I think that one is going to be the one that really brings in a lot of
you won't even be able to come into the house. It'll be so hot.
Oh, it's going to be hot.
Woo!
So, all right. So 50,000 listeners, that's going to happen. And then at 60,000 listeners, and this is where I think this is the one that the scientists are really going to get excited about. We have a lot of professionals that listen to this show. So
we do. I
don't know
that.
If I want to overtly give a suggestion on what you can do if this stretch goal is met, or just kind of leave it to the imagination.
You just got
to
put it out there.
Okay, I'll tell you what you can do with this. So,
okay.
It's a good prize, but I'm gonna black and white. This is why it's a good prize.
Okay, great.
So if we hit that stretch goal of 60,000 listeners, the first 10 listeners that send us a check for $10,
okay,
get a half-eaten Cheeto that was in each of our mouths.
Okay. Wait. Okay, so that requires each of us to have a third of a half.
No. Like,
so you get do you get three half-eaten Cheetos or
Brian,
one whole Cheeto?
Brian, you're totally missing the point.
That
okay.
Each of us have eaten to create a half.
It doesn't matter where the half came from.
No, it totally matters.
No.
That's the stretch goal, Ben.
Okay, we'll work that part out. The important thing is that half of a Cheeto has been in each of our mouths. Okay.
Okay.
And for the scientists out there, that gives you the ability to get access to our DNA. And so, you know.
I want my DNA out there, Ben.
Oh, it's going to be out there because we're going to hit 60,000 listeners. So with that DNA, as you know, you could clone your own Brian, Ben, and Jared. So you could clone your own Brian, Ben, and Jared.
God help you.
You could create your own We Like Dota podcast. That would be, you could really compete against us if you wanted to.
It'd probably be more successful.
It probably would, because you'd have scientists in charge.
Would it be Bizarro, Brian, Ben, and Jared? So would it be...
It depends on who clones you.
Would it be We Like League?
Right. It could be... it really depends on the scientist and what they want to do. They have our DNA. They can mesh it with something else. You know, you could do
very
a
uncomfortable
hybrid
this,
species
Ben.
Thing. Kind of deal.
I feel very uncomfortable
deal.
About this.
Well, we put it out there now. So if we hit 60,000 listeners, you can have access to our DNA.
Line up for your cheetahs, folks.
As long as you give us the $10 for the check, because that one required a check, just to clarify. $10. First 10 listeners. So first 10, I would think scientists are the ones who are really going to want to be on board with that.
So wait, we're only getting $100 out of this deal?
We'll get $100 plus clones of us.
Oh, that's true. When you put it that way.
Which could potentially be good or potentially be really, really bad. I'm not sure.
I think only good can come out of this.
So I think we've got three really good stretch goals. Should we update this occasionally on where we're at with the stretch goals? How do we want to do that?
Yeah, we'll do that.
We'll do some updates.
We'll let you know when we hit 40,000.
I didn't think through a timeline. Is it just if we ever hit those numbers, or is it by a certain date?
I think the timeline of if we ever hit those numbers will be appropriate.
The problem with not having a timeline, Brian, is it doesn't give that sense of urgency behind
it. What are you thinking then, Ben?
I'm going to say a year from this date. Okay? You have 1 year. And if you hit the goals before, then we'll provide those Kickstarter rewards or those stretch goal rewards.
Today's May 25th. We'll say May 26th, which is when this will probably get posted tomorrow.
Okay, so May 26th, 2015.
Yeah.
And we will get you that DNA.
Make it happen, folks. So, Ben, is it okay if we move on to the qualifiers update?
That's fine.
Okay. It's probably going to be a little bit more boring compared to what you just
gave us. Pretty boring.
But yeah, Ben, as you know, the TI4 qualifiers are currently ongoing.
I do know that.
And I could not believe it when you told me last week when we spoke, we were going through the Southeast Asia qualifiers.
Correct. I think they had just started.
They finished those out, and China has finished out, and the finals of the Europe qualifiers are now starting.
Very nice.
So with Southeast Asia, we have Arrow and MVP Phoenix. Arrow gets the direct invite, and MVP Phoenix goes to the...
Which, from my understanding, Arrow kind of dominated that whole thing.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah, for sure. And in China, we have LGD and CIS.
Okay.
And unfortunately, Jared and I were really rooting for Dreamtime.
Yeah, what happened to Dreamtime?
I think they're kind of one of those teams that... They're kind of like one of those tier two teams where they kind of remind me of Power Rangers from Europe.
Okay, okay.
Where they have moments of brilliance where they play really well.
Okay.
But then they have a couple times where they just can't get it together. You know, they're just inconsistent.
You need consistency to get through that sort of a tournament or qualifier.
Because you're playing so many games.
Right.
You just have to have consistency, and I just don't think the maturity as a team is there.
Okay.
So there's that.
Well, that's disappointing they didn't make it. Sounds like they were fun to watch.
The Chinese games?
Yeah.
They were not fun to watch.
Oh, no.
There was a couple good matches, but most of the time...
They sit back and they farm, right? That's what they
do. Most of the time, all they want to do is just farm up their carry. They don't gank. They just farm up and wait for the other team to screw up. And then however they can capitalize on that mistake, that's what they do. Yeah. So if you have two teams who aren't screwing up or making mistakes ever, it just becomes a snooze fest.
That's disappointing, because as you know, one of Jared and I's favorite teams... Are the Chinese team DK?
DK, yes.
We love them.
Which they have not been playing well lately.
But okay, it's not a problem. It's not going to be an issue.
Ben, they finished fourth in the Mars TV Dota 2 tournament.
All right, let's talk about this a little bit. So the Mars TV thing, what is that? I mean, that's not...
That's a Chinese tournament.
Right, who
cares?
There
was a lot of money on the line, Ben.
What's a lot of money?
I don't know.
Okay, because right now, as you know, the stretch goals, we have topped $6 million.
It was a big deal. Did you see, like, the big stage and things they had going on for it, Ben? It looked like a big deal.
Where's the real big deal? It's winning the championship. It's the Super Bowl, right? It's the Super Bowl of Dota. That's what you want to win.
I won't disagree with that.
Okay, so what they're doing during these other tournaments is they're trying to see what works. They're trying some different things. They're experimenting.
Are they doing a fake out?
And... They're doing maybe a little bit. I mean, you want to set a little bit of a lower expectation so that when your competition's coming in, they maybe think that you're not on your game, and then you can just smash them. You know, they don't bring their A game. They're not mentally prepared. Kill them. You got them. You got them. And so what they're doing is, I think they're just setting that up. They're you know, maybe not playing as well on purpose. They're trying some different things to see what works. When the international comes into play, they're going to be fine. And Ice, he knows how to work a North American live crowd.
Oh yeah,
That man knows what he's doing. He's probably my favorite player.
Yeah,
he can get the crowd on board with them. They're going to basically have a home field advantage as they're playing these LAN games.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that.
I'm taking them at least at number three, but I think they could actually take it all the way. I think they could win.
Oh, I think they could too. But Jared and I had originally thought that they were just going to level the playing field, just destroy everyone.
They're not that. You're right. They're not going to be that. They're not going to be that. But they still have a really good chance of winning this thing.
Oh, I'm totally on board with that.
Okay. Well, what are you crapping on then?
Well, okay. You and Jared are. Well, Jared. You're, based on what you've just told me, you and I are on the same page. Jared is the one who's touting them all to high heaven about how they're the greatest thing since
they are. Before. They are the greatest thing.
No, they're not. We just said they're not.
They are still, to me, they still have it. They're still even the favorite. It's just in a tournament as important as this.
As favorited as they once were.
But I don't think it's that different. I think you've downgraded them so much, and I think they are still. They're still right there.
I would put them in top four easily.
Oh, I think they're.
I don't think they're top one.
I think they might be still.
Okay.
I think they might be. I think that we'll see it.
To be fair, though, in these matches that they've played where they're quote unquote figuring things out, you don't do that with all sorts of money on the line. You do that maybe in the lower
brackets.
You do it
if it's right before the biggest tournament.
I disagree.
You've already got your. Brian, you're so wrong.
I could be wrong. I'm not a sporting gentleman.
Yeah.
So I don't
know. This is what they want to do.
Yeah. So anyway, there's that. Currently.
Whatever.
The Europe qualifiers are currently going on. And the top four that are in the double elimination bracket for the final two teams, we have RocksKiss, which went 9-0.
Wow. That's impressive.
They did not drop a game. Mouse Gaming, Mouse Sports, which used to be Team Dog / Sigma. Coast Gaming and Virtus Pro.
Okay.
So that's all that.
All righty. Sounds good. It will be exciting to see who comes out of those qualifiers. And, you know, I haven't been watching as much of the Southeast Asia, the Chinese, or the European qualifiers.
Yeah, but they're tough to watch. And
yeah, I'm really pumped, though. When you start mixing that all up, when you get to the actual international event, it's going to be exciting to see how these teams stack up.
That's really exciting. So, Ben, as we talked about earlier, I am kind of pulling back. Well, I'm putting the A to Z Hero Challenge on hold.
Right. It's in a holding pattern.
Yeah, so that I can focus on my compendium heroes.
Right. Which, how many do you have left now?
I think I've got four.
Okay, we'll get that. We'll get the four. Yeah,
four
that won't
five.
Be a problem.
I did get a win on Outworld Devourer, and you can look on my Dota buff. It is confirmed. I do have a win on him. It was not marked in my compendium that I got a win on him.
Oh, Volvo, get on it. Come on. Yeah.
But, Ben, you have been playing a lot of IO.
Well, I had to play a lot of IO because I couldn't win with IO. That was the problem.
Yeah. So, tell us about IO, Ben. Tell us about what role he plays and maybe where you'd lane him.
Well, I really like IO. He's a support. He's got a lot to offer. He has the relocate ability, which lets him teleport to a place and then teleport back. And you can actually tether to another hero.
Yeah.
The problem is I was trying to win a lot of those matches on all pick. It's very challenging to win a match with an IO on an all pick because you just don't have the communication there. He can buff another hero, so you can essentially one of your carries you can give some additional damage to.
Okay.
So that's a really good bonus. Does the healing link as well, so it can heal. And then does have a little bit of an ability that, you know, this, I don't know what it's called, where he...
Spirit orbs.
The spirit orbs, yep. So you can do a little bit of chasing with that as well, which you can have some success there. But yeah, really there to place wards, to bring about some healing, to bring about some extra damage, and really supplement what's going on. So I really like what he brings to the table as a support. But again, I think there's a lot of communication needs with that hero. And if you're trying to get that win on an all pick with a bunch of random folks, it's challenging.
Can you run him as more than a support, or is he just...
support. I only tried running him as a support. Have you seen anything?
I have not.
Outside
of
that?
I can't imagine that working well.
No, because, I mean, he's so much about having synergy with other heroes. I just don't know if he'd really be...
Yeah. So let's talk about lanes.
Yeah.
In the early game, where are you wanting to
I was running Io in the safe lane.
Okay.
You're trying to babysit that hard carry that's down there, that number one spot.
Yeah.
Make sure that they get farm. Maybe there's a chance for an early kill. You can try to get that. But yeah, I think he's probably best suited for that lane.
Yeah.
Down there in the safe lane.
I know that I see him a lot in professional matches. And everyone, take all that we're saying with a grain of salt.
We don't know what
because
we're talking
about.
Because we don't know what we're
talking about. No clue. We just have our casual observations from playing laughably low-level games.
Right.
So there's
and watching professional-level games.
Correct.
So it's a mixture.
Yeah. But I've seen him run as... I see the tiny Io combo a lot, where they're kind of like a gank squad.
Which Jared is a huge proponent of that.
Tony?
Yeah, the Tony Io thing.
So we might have to give that a try, and I don't know if I've ever seen it, but I would think Io would fit in well with a tri-lane.
I would think it would be a good fit there, too. Jared and I were experimenting a little bit with a Huskar and an Io. I don't know how I feel about that exactly, just because Huskar...
I think
some ways benefits from not having extra health.
He's kind of fine ganking on his own.
Right. I don't know if there's a lot of benefit there, but it wasn't not working, I guess I would say. I don't think it's probably the best fit, but it's a fit.
Okay.
I think the Tony fit would be a much better one.
Yeah.
Get him with Tiny. But honestly, I thought he was enjoyable, but he's kind of like, what is it, Omni Knight that just doesn't have...
Omni Knight brings a little bit of damage to the table, but generally you pick him for the defensive.
He's like a Dazzle spells. Or an Omni Knight where it's really more of a supplementary hero in a lot of ways, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
But I got a lot of kills on Io at times too, just that the Spirit Orbs can do a lot of chase, which is really nice and kind of zone people out a bit. So.
Yeah. When I think of Io, I'm sorry, I'm stumbling over my words. The first thing that I think of is a match that I played where some guy on our team was playing as Io and would just relocate us to the other team's fountain.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So it is a hero that has some of the most easily abused abilities as well.
So we definitely reported him, but...
It's kind of funny.
It is kind of funny.
A little bit.
Yeah. It is kind of funny because people were raging so
hard. I'm sure people are upset.
Oh, my gosh. It was great.
We don't condone that kind
of
thing, but
he said
great.
He only started doing it because apparently he was playing normally, and then people were just being dicks to this guy because he wasn't playing well. Because it's hard to play Io.
It's not an easy character, not an easy hero.
And so he just wanted to, he flipped a switch, went into destruction.
Oh man, that guy got banned so hard. I'm sure. Oh wow, that's
all
great though.
So Ben, I'm going to talk about all of his abilities, and then you can kind of maybe talk about this.
Oh, we're still talking. Let's do it. What else you got for me?
Okay, so he has Tether.
Right.
Tether yourself to an allied hero, granting both of you bonus movement speed.
Okay.
When you restore health or mana, your target gains 1.5 times the amount. Any enemy unit that crosses the tether is slowed. The tether breaks when the allied unit moves too far away or Io cancels the tether. Mana cost is 40, cooldown is 12, range is 1800, max distance is 900, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, we don't need all that stuff. But that's an ability that got nerfed, right? Because that used to do a stun.
That used to be a stun.
And now when that was a stun, I could see how that would be way OP.
Now it's a 100% movement slow.
Right,
so
which is
still
beneficial,
stuff.
But it's not quite as strong as it was. But
because
the healing comes in handy, and you run a lot of healing items, like an urn or a mech on him.
Yeah.
You can kind of share that a little bit more.
Yeah.
There's some real benefits there.
Yeah. So. Io was really popular during TI3.
Okay.
Which, if you look at the stats for that, the team that drafted Io won the game.
Which is why he got nerfed.
Yeah.
Right.
So I remember Alliance picking him.
He's still viable.
He was
just
first
not
pick,
what he
first
Yeah, he's still viable, but just not what he was.
Which I think is great.
Yeah, that's great. That's
Jared
where you
and I
want.
Were talking about the current meta, and it's
in a good spot.
It's pretty level.
Yeah, it's in a really good spot. There's some heroes that you don't see a lot, but I think overall it's hard to balance a game with that many heroes,
gosh,
and they're doing a pretty good job with that.
Okay, let's continue on. So spirits, which is the spirit orbs I were talking
That's
about.
That's fun. You can zone people out. You can do a little bit of damage with that. Do a little bit of chasing with that. I think overall it's a fun ability.
That's the one where it summons these little orbs that float around Io.
Right, little mini Io.
Kind of move them in and out.
Yeah.
And you can do damage. They do, how much do they do? To creeps, they do 26. To heroes, they do 100 at max range.
Yeah.
And then there's different... And they, oh, they explode on impact.
Yeah.
Oh, so you get a little
AoE going on. Damage, a little AoE splash.
Okay. So you can get a... Is that to, like, get chasers or...
I use the chase mostly or just to kind of be a nuisance. So if you're like, I don't want to get close enough really to be in a battle, but maybe I want to just let people know that they're going to take damage if they get too close. Like if you're guarding a tower or something.
Okay.
There's some benefits there, but it's not going to do a lot of damage. I mean, it's just going to be able to help a little
supplementary
bit.
Supplementary damage.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's overcharge. Io gains bonus movement bonus attack speed and damage reduction at the cost of draining HP and mana per second.
So you basically sacrifice yourself to buff your carry.
Yeah, it's if I was tethered to an ally, the unit also gains the bonuses.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which
so do you want to be like pretty far away when you use this?
You're out of the fight because you're losing health as you're doing that. So you're kind of out of the fight. And again, this is where that lack of communication when you just do a random match with random folks is going to come into play. You want them to engage, and they're not wanting to engage.
Whoa, this is pretty significant.
Oh, it's a really nice buff.
At level 4, it's 70 extra attack speed.
Right.
Minus 20% damage reduction.
It's nice.
That's pretty good.
It is a very good ability. You just need to be able to communicate to know when to use that. So, which it's interesting. Io is also a strength hero. I always thought, you know, he'd be more of an intelligence hero, but he's a strength hero, which is interesting.
I think they did that for balance purposes.
Probably. Probably.
Yeah. Okay. And then his ultimate is relocate, teleport yourself and any tethered ally to any location on the map.
So what I tended to try to do that with, again, if you have good communication, that's a great opportunity there to do a gank because you're basically just going in and going out. So as long as you keep tethered to that other person, you buff them, kill somebody, and then you're going to go right back to where you were. So you can go right back to farming.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Again, hard to do if you don't have really good communication. The other option is you can rescue somebody from a battle, from a team fight, go back to Fountain, and you hop right back into the battle. The problem with relocate is, and unless I'm wrong, again, I could be wrong. I think I
got my win with you, by the way.
I think you did.
Or the win for you.
You and I played together. So if you relocate, I believe there's no way to prevent yourself from going back to that spot. Right. So against a good team, they can just wait there. And if the team fight's basically over, you're just feeding at that point. So
yeah, but if you save your carry from a death, that's worth
right, because the carry doesn't have to come back with you. So there's definitely a chance.
So if you're playing with Kyle, and when Kyle gets out of position,
right, I can send Kyle back,
get
out of there, and then Kyle's alive and I die instead.
Right.
Which is great.
That's how it usually works.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how it should go. Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Kyle, we love you. But yeah, you were like tethering me, sending me back to the well to heal. You were pretty useful on it.
Yeah, I think it's, again, I think if you had a 5 stack, it's a really good hero to pick.
Yeah.
There's a lot to offer there.
Okay, let's talk items, Ben.
Yeah.
What, at start of game, we'll talk about start of game, core, and extension items.
Okay.
At start of game, what do you start with?
I don't recall exactly what I started the game with. I think you get tangos, maybe a couple of the branches, that kind of thing. You work up to a wand.
Are you buying wards and courier?
Oh, yeah. Wards, courier. Okay. I mean, you're support, so you're supposed to be buying all that stuff. So wards and courier. And then I tended to work up to a wand. So, again, you have that synergy with his tether ability to help heal you and your ally. So that was a bonus there. And then kind of progressing into the game, ended up picking up a mech and an urn. So you get the urn with the flexibility there to either do damage do some additional healing.
Which makes sense because it gains charges from heroes dying in a certain area around you.
That's exactly right.
So if you're
in those fights in the midst of that, then you're going to get some of those earned charges. And the mech, tended to run a mech.
MMX's going to be good.
Right. And generally the game was over before I really would move past that. So I assume you could probably get a heart on him and make him a little tankier and give some more ability there to when you're,
Gosh, if you're getting heart on Io, you're having a good game.
That's what I'm saying. I never got to that point in the game.
What about like a sheep stick or like a Yule's or something?
Again,
like
I think any of those items that are a normal pickup for a support would be a good fit for Io.
Okay.
Again, he's not an intelligence hero, so you have to be somewhat cognizant of that fact, but
yeah. What kind of boots do you get on him?
If you can afford them, I think you would want to get probably mana boots.
Okay.
I think is what I tended to go with Io. So
You
could also just go the treads, I think would be probably an option as well.
Yeah. Totally. Okay. And yeah, I think that's all we have to talk about IO, Ben.
I'm done.
All right. Let's move on to Noobs Ask Noobs.
Noobs Ask Noobs.
Which we are noobs indeed. Okay, so there's a couple of questions that are floating around in the thread that we haven't quite gotten to yet.
Let's talk about those questions.
But we're gonna get to them eventually.
Okay. Oh, so you don't want to talk about the questions?
Oh, no, we're going to talk about some.
Were they bad questions?
No, they're great questions.
Okay.
Okay, this one
is... Don't be mean to the listeners, Brian.
I'm not.
Okay.
You are, Ben.
Oh, yeah, that's my job.
Yeah. Okay, this is from Scott Dubb. He says, how does one counter Faceless Void's backtrack? I tried MKB and it didn't seem to work. I could do the research, but I thought I'd let you guys do it for me. Love the show, even if you guys are wrong as much as you are sort of right.
That person is on point.
He's calling us out, man.
No, it's entirely accurate. I appreciate it. Who is that from? Who's the question?
Scott. Scott Dubb.
I don't know who Scott Dubb is.
I know who Scott is. He's a nice guy.
Okay.
Yeah, so I did a little bit of research, and Faceless Void's backtrack mechanic at max level... he gets a flat 25% dodge to physical and magical damage, and it's a passive.
So what do you do about that, Brian? Tell me more.
Well, not much, Ben.
Oh, okay.
Basically, the only way that you can counter it is with what's called muting.
What is muting? That's a new mechanic.
There are certain things that will mute somebody, and when you're muted, you miss out on things like critical strike, cleave, lifesteal.
Interesting.
Those sorts of passive mechanics.
Right.
And Faceless Void Backtrack also fits into that.
Interesting.
And there are only two abilities in the game that mute.
Okay.
That is Doom's Ultimate. Doom's Doom. And then also Legion Commander's Duel.
Okay.
That's it.
And so when you and I looked up this backtrack ability and we talked about it a little bit, and we just decided that Faceless is not good enough to pick a counter pick for him. From Doom or Legion Commander. So
well, you could. Like, if you get, like, a
would
good...
you really want to, though? I mean, to me, he's just not that much trouble. You spread out, you don't get into Chronosphere, and you're okay.
You stun him, silence him, and you're fine.
Right.
Yeah, so that's really about all that you can do against Backtrack. So... like, your stun
you're welcome,
Scott. Still gonna work.
Yeah, Scott, you're welcome.
I hope that... You know what? I think Scott's testing us. I think he's testing us. I think
Scott knows.
I think Scott knows, exactly.
Scott is right on, and it's not like we're covering it up. We don't know crap.
We don't know Jack.
No.
Okay, next question comes from friend of the show, P-Frog.
P-Frog. Is it P-E-E Frog, or just the letter P?
I wish it was.
Oh, no, that would be even funnier. Yeah.
I have a theory. I think P-Frog is secretly Ice Frog in disguise.
That is probably an incorrect theory.
Ben, I want it to be true, though.
Okay, fine. Oh, you're right, Brian. Whoa. It is definitely Ice Frog.
Okay, P-Frog says...
Yeah, that's great. He listens to the show. Ice Frog is on board with We Like Dota.
Fix stuff. Okay.
Loves it. Loves We Like Dota.
All right. Here's what P-Frog
says. So P-Frog, who is actually Ice Frog...
says, how do I play a ganking-oriented hero like Klinks or Bloodseeker? By the time I come online and get a few kills in, the enemy starts grouping up, and I can't pick them off anymore.
So I'd like to take this one.
Let me finish the question. I realize I could use that opportunity to farm more, but what if the hero just isn't that good at teamfighting or farming?
So, P-Frog, since you're the designer of the game, my suggestion is just buff the heck out of those heroes. Right? Because you're convinced this is Ice Frog. Why are they asking us this question if they're Ice Frog, Brian?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you see how your theory sucks?
It's not Ice Frog.
Yeah, you see how your theory
you're
is...
You're really running with this.
No, your theory is wrong. I just want to prove this to you.
Sure.
Yeah, let's answer the guy's totally question wrong. Incorrectly.
Yeah, I have a couple of thoughts.
Okay, go for it.
One, ganking heroes are really... You want to pick ganking heroes that are strong in the early game.
Okay.
In the early and mid game. And
at our skill level, at least. That tends to be better.
And my problem with ganking heroes is that you typically rely... And it's kind of showing, you know, what he's running up against here.
Right.
You typically rely on the other team to screw up.
Yeah, you're looking at mistakes.
So if the other team's not making mistakes, you're out of luck.
But... maybe P-Frog's really good, but at our skill level, everybody's making mistakes.
Right. So what you need to do is you need to tell your support, hey, get some wards up in their jungle in, you know, common traveled areas where you can catch people out. So if you have vision, you know, hey, you can go gank this guy.
Sure.
And just catch him out.
Okay.
So that's kind of what I would do. I'm not a huge fan of ganking heroes. I don't really play them, and I don't play them well.
I enjoy them. I think I've had more success with them. It's, I mean, to a certain extent, you have to be aggressive, but you have to be aggressive
smart
at the right time.
Yeah. So it's, you have to be smart about it.
A lot of it's awareness, and a lot of it is just correct aggression.
Yeah.
And again, if you're playing with random players, you have to get a sense of whether or not they're aware enough that they're going to hop in on that to help you out.
Right.
That's going to be the big difference. So
yeah, and he also did say, you know, if you're playing against a ganking hero, team fighting counters them really well.
Right. And that's, and again, if you're playing, yeah, if you're playing against them, that's what you want to do.
Unless, like, I don't know, I've had matches where I've gotten destroyed by Klinks, even in team fights. Mm-hmm. That's because he kind of played like Weaver, where when the team
comes in a little later. Yeah.
Yeah. He just kind of comes out of nowhere and just focuses people down.
You can still have some success. I mean, you need to kind of create some opportunities for your ganker by, you know, doing a little bit of split pushing, you know, forcing the other team to not team fight somehow. So
yeah, and you're,
but it's difficult.
You're really relying on snowballing and getting so far ahead in kills that you just can't be stopped.
But again, I think we see a lot of success with that. You know, people tend to pick Pudge. They tend to pick Spirit Breaker.
Yeah.
Bloodseeker. And
I mean, that happened to me in, I laned against a Slark and I fed like crazy.
Right.
Because it was a bad lane match.
I guess maybe just find the worst player on the other team and just really
farm them.
Really farm them.
Yeah.
In all honesty, though, I think there's an opportunity there that you pick on the weakest link.
Yeah. So I realize that's probably not that. It's probably not the help that you were looking for, P-Frog. So I would recommend going to YouTube and just trying to find some guides out there. I think, or look up some of Purge's guides on, you know, Klinks or some of the other ganking heroes.
Yeah, maybe ask somebody who knows something.
We don't know anything.
I think those are some good basic answers to that question.
Yeah. So Ben, that brings us to the end of the show.
Wow, that was quick.
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/bynger. Check us out on Reddit, reddit.com/r/WeLikeDota. Our theme song is done by Michael Edwards of the Flipping Table Podcast.
Good guy. I like that guy.
We and I are trying to stream a little bit more.
We
often,
and I.
As if in Ben and Jared and I, and also myself. You can check that out at twitch.tv/.
Wait, include yourself?
Sabone.
This includes yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's happening right now, Ben?
I'm not sure.
Are you making fun of me?
I am not sure.
Okay. So I've started streaming our team nights, Wednesday nights. So you can check that out at twitch.tv/Sabone. And community night is Friday nights at either 7:30 or 8. Field studies.
Why don't you pick a time, since they're really relying on us to pick a time?
I'm going to let field studies pick a time.
So how do they find that time?
It'll be on the subreddit.
You have to go to Reddit.
You do.
So many websites.
Everyone goes to Reddit but you, Ben.
Right.
So I'll let you know.
Yeah, just text me.
And just tell somebody about the show. Yeah. Get the word out there. Help Ben hit his stretch goals. Get those Cheetos.
Clone us.
Ben, where can we find you online?
I am at Dota Yadneb on Twitter.
You hit an important milestone today.
Oh, I did. So I am now at 14 Twitter followers.
Fantastic.
And I think I only actually know half these people,
which is fine.
Which is, well, I mean, that's what you're, I think that was a positive thing.
Yeah,
maybe. So I don't know.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Jared will be back sometime. I'm not really sure.
We're kind of waiting for his baby to be old enough to also be on the podcast, so we're looking at probably 3 or 4 years.
The baby will be our fifth member,
right,
on the team.
There's only three of us that are on the podcast,
not that play Dota with us.
Oh, like, okay, I see.
Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah, but we have Chris.
Correct.
So we already have five.
But he doesn't play.
He plays more than the baby.
That's true, I'll give you that.
Yep, gotcha.
And with that said, have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next time.